does them shall live by them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity here to be here this evening. I pray the next few minutes that you would open up these scriptures to us. May we have a clarity of your gospel. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. And so this morning and then the week prior to that, the last two Sunday mornings, the subject has been justification. And we've been looking in through the Old Testament to get an understanding of the gospel. It's important that we consider all the Scripture together. And so we've been going through this process of the Old Testament. So we're looking at the gospel through the lens of the Old Testament. And we've been going through these different subjects. And the last 2 weeks was justification. And next week will be mercy and grace. And the next week is grace. And so there's so much. I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, my favorite subject is justification. Because it is the subject of justification, that is where that we can have assurance of salvation. I know there are a lot of folks that love the ideal and the thought of once saved, always saved. They just love that and what that means, and I love it too. But listen to me, if you don't have a basis for your evidence, then all you have is you're just holding on to something. You have to have doctrine. Well, justification is the doctrine that gives you the assurance of salvation. That's the importance of justification. And so we've been looking at that over the last couple of weeks and seeing what the Scripture says and really taking some time to look at that. And so it come to tonight, and I knew I was going to preach a little bit shorter than normal, so I wanted to get out of Ephesians, and I thought, man, there's so much left on the table on this subject. And so that's why we're here tonight. So this morning we looked at Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. And so God calls Abraham, and he calls him to a life of faithfulness, to be obedient, and do exactly what he says, tons of uncertainties. And so all these things that takes place in Abraham's life, and he doesn't know what to expect. At the end of the road, he just does it. He just follows God. He has faith and confidence and trust in God. And so in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, the Scripture says, because of his faith, the Lord accounts to him righteousness. And that's exactly what we just read in verse 6 here. Paul is referring to that. And so because of his faithfulness, because he trusted in God, God accounted to him, he imparts to him righteousness. Understand, there's nothing that Abraham ever did. He never did anything to establish that righteousness. He didn't do anything to earn it. And that it was exactly what they believed, that they had to earn favor with God. But he didn't do anything in that. Instead, he was faithful, he trusted in God, and because of that, God accounts to him righteousness. So I want to look at some more scriptures in regards to that tonight. And I want you to go with me now in Galatians chapter 3, and I want you to go to verse 22. The Scripture says, "But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe." Now I want you to see here what Paul is telling the people there of the church, the Galatian church. He is telling them they've been going through this terrible approach. They have been mixing legalism in, so they have created all these rules for themselves. And they've put all this on them, and their church is just going backwards, to be quite honest. And he's trying to put everything in order here. And so he's building this case, like what we saw in Romans chapter 4, using Abraham as the ultimate example. And so he's saying, now look at Abraham, consider Abraham. And he goes through all of this report. And then we come to this verse, verse 22, which is much like the case in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. The verse is very similar. We come to this verse, "But the Scripture has confined all under sin." So we can all agree on that. That's what he's saying. He's saying, based on the Scripture, we can all agree that all are under sin. Notice then he says that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. So the promise is the key word here. Okay, that's our key word for the rest of the night in understanding justification. The promise was given to Abraham. And that promise that God gave to Abraham was of many things, but what we really mattered, the grand scope of it, the promise was that of salvation. The promise was that of redemption. So God tells Abraham, we saw it this morning, Genesis chapter 15, God tells Abraham, "I'm going to give you an heir. I'm going to give you a son." And then he says, I want you to go out and I want you to look at the stars and look at all the stars in the sky, and I want you to see how many, can you number them? Well, that will be your descendants. Now, that's God's promise to him. He's promising him to give him this lineage, all of these heirs, all of these descendants. That's what God's promising him. But through your seed, there'll be one that will come that will redeem all nations, and that's Jesus. And so what he is telling Abraham is he's saying through him there'll be many nations. He will be the father of many nations, but he will be a father of a spiritual nation, and that is for all believers. And so they looked at Abraham with this great respect and this great understanding, and so now he's using this to bring the evidence forth. Verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for faith, which would afterward be revealed. I want you to notice the word faith there. Notice what he says in verse 23. Before it came. You see how he's saying that? Before faith came. You see, in God's foreknowledge and in his perfect wisdom and within the realm of his sovereignty, through all of that, what our Lord has done here and what he has said here is he is saying that the purpose, the whole point of everything that God has done was to one day reveal the covenant of faith. To reveal to all people that sinners can be saved through faith. And he goes back to Abraham as the example. Before there was law, Abraham believed. We'll see that here in just a minute. Look at verse 24. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Notice that. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The purpose of the law is to bring the sinner to repentance. That's its purpose. To convict hearts, to show the clarity, the need of a Savior. You know, you need to know that you need to be saved. It's important that you need to know it. Knowing that your life is a mess is not enough. You know, knowing that there's an emptiness or a void inside of you, that's not enough. You need to know that you need to be forgiven, that you need to be born again. And so that was the purpose of it, and the purpose of it is to be, notice what he says, justified by what? Not by works. You know, not by deeds, but justified by faith. Verse 25. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you were baptized in Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And so we have the story of Abraham. 400 years before the law is given by Moses, there is Abraham. And before there was a law for him to know, before there was the Ten Commandments for him to know, here's what he did know, that I will follow the voice of the Lord. That I will do what it is that the Lord says that I am to do. And ultimately, that is where we need to look at in regards to sin. One of the problems that we have, especially in our area of the country, is that we get hung up on sin in the wrong manner. That we look at sin as a completely in a social environment. Socially, what is unacceptable to us, that is how we look at sin. And so we have churches today, there are folks all in churches today, in our area and as well as around the country today, that because in their minds, they have not committed grave sins, you know, dark sins, socially unacceptable sins, that they've done okay. They have this mindset, well, you know, I've done pretty good here. I really kind of, you know, went by, and I didn't get involved like some folks got involved in this, and I've done pretty good. And all that is a pious, self-righteous mentality. And what the Scripture teaches us is that sin is anything that is a transgression against the laws of God. And so anytime we do anything against His character, anytime we do anything against His attributes, who He is, anytime that we go against those things, we are in sin. And so when we look at it in that light, and this is why all the time I mention this to you guys, it is so important that we have a very high view of God. And that we look at him in that high view. Because it's when you are looking at him in that view, you then see yourself and you see how low you are. And you see how wretched you are. And so when church folks are looking at religion, and they're looking at, well, we don't do this, and 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 that is what that they're doing to hold on to themselves, to justify themselves, they're in sin. To justify yourself is sinful. And it's not God's plan. The whole purpose of all of this is that we saw it this morning, that the justifier, that's Jesus, may justify. And so it's the whole point. It's the whole purpose that he would be the one that does this. Then we come to this verse 29, and it says, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And so if you are a believer, you are a seed of Abraham. This man who believed before there was law. Simply because God said to go do this, this is exactly what I will go do. And that's the call of the gospel today. If Jesus said in the gospel to go and do something, we are to go and do it. And whatever he has said is exactly what we should do. And so nowhere in the scripture will you find in the New Testament, Old Testament, nowhere in the scripture will you find where men come to God and they wanted to get their life fixed, okay? And all they wanted to do was just to stay out of hell. And nowhere will you find that a man can come to God or come to the evangelist, come to the apostle, come to the prophet, and want to get their life out of this mess. And so they pray a prayer. They just pray a prayer. They get saved. And then they just go blend in and fit in. We don't see that. You don't see that in the scripture. Now you see it here. You see it here. You see it all over our community. Matter of fact, everybody in Newport is saved. Did you know that? Everybody's saved. That's the mentality. We got a Pentecostal right there. And so, it is God's desire that men follow him. That's what we see with Abraham. That he forsook everything. That he left everything behind. And he did exactly what it was that God has called him to do. And go exactly wherever that God has called him to do. And that's exactly the way God redeems men today. When God saves men and women today, their life is no longer their life, but their life is now his life. And wherever it is that God says to go, we are to go. And you're not the master any longer over yourself. As a matter of fact, when you are born again, you now are a slave to God. Now go with me in the next few verses in case I've lost you. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all. Now, in their culture, if you were wealthy enough to have servants, here's the way it would work. If you had a son that was going to, your firstborn son, he's going to take everything you have, right? He's going to be the leader of your home one day. Here's the way it would work. He would live among the slaves. And so there would be a slave, there would be a servant, there would be one of those that actually helped raise your child. And so if the slave had children, then your child would take part in that. And so they would go wherever the slave children go. Wherever the servant children go, that's where they would go. And that's how they would look. And so he says here in verse 1, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he has a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all." So the man that's over it all, He's in charge of everything, but yet his child, he blends in and looks just like the rest. Verse 2. "But is under the guardians and the stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world." Now, I want you to notice verse 2 and 3 here. So it says in verse 2, "But it is under the guardians of the stewards until the appointed time." And so the father would go about conducting all of his business until it was time, and that son got old enough to then go to work and work in the way he wanted to, and he could start teaching him the trade and teaching him the business. That's how it would work. That's the appointed time. Then we come to verse 3. Notice what it says in verse 3. "Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world." Every person that's here tonight that's saved, there was a time in your life prior to salvation, there was a time of your life that was completely in bondage. We are born into this world fallen, desperately in need of a Savior. Born into this world needing Jesus to save us. And so, born into this world, you are born into bondage. You are under the slave ship of sin. That is exactly where you're at. You desperately need to be rescued. If you're here this evening and you've never been saved, that's you. You are a slave to sin, and you desperately need to be rescued. But notice what it says in verse 3. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under to the elements of the world. Verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, and born under the law. And so this is in regards to the gospel. And so this is exactly all of mankind was in this situation. Born unto this elements of this world, subject to it, needing to be rescued of a Savior. And so the whole purpose of Jesus is to come, is to establish this faith covenant, establish it that men can be redeemed. And so here's the way it works. When a slave is purchased by someone else, he is the possession. He now belongs to that one that has bought him. And so you are a slave to sin and to this world. Born in this world. Born a slave. When God saved you, you are no longer yours and you are no longer under the master of sin. Understand it. Everyone loves to talk about being freed from sin, don't they? Everybody loves that side of it. But how often do we stop and reflect on what that actually means? I am freed from sin because I have been bought by Jesus, and I am now His possession. And because I am His possession, His master, the reason that we use the word Lord to refer to Him is because He's our master. We are servant slave. And so Jesus, whatever it is that you want is what I want in my life. That should be the mentality and the attitude of the Christian. Verse 4, but when the fullness of this time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman and born under the law. Verse 5, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Brother, that's exactly what we needed right there. We needed to be rescued in this way. We needed to become the children of God. And so we have Abraham, and through him is that seed. And then now we have this word adoption. We looked at this last week in our study of the book of Ephesians. We see this word adoption. You see what that means? Is it doesn't matter what nationality that we're from. It doesn't matter what our background is. By being adopted into this family, doesn't matter where we've come from and what we've been a part of and what our past is, we now become adopted fully under the custody and of the right of the one that is in charge. That is a blessed thing there, what God has done for us. And see, we see this wonderful message of the gospel. That's what God's given us. He has given us the most precious and the most wonderful thing that this planet will ever have. And it's the message of the gospel. And it is a glorious, glorious gospel. And it is something that should motivate us. It should drive us. It should be the way that we deal with all the issues in our life. Do you understand that? All of the issues and all the things that are going on in your life, you should balance those and you should determine those by the gospel. That's how you should work everything out in your life. All of the things, if there's conflict in your life, you need to look at it under the scope of look it through the lens of the gospel. If there's hurt in your life, look at it through the gospel. That's how we should look at everything. And when we'll do that, here's what you'll see. You'll consider Jesus. And when I consider Him, and I consider His brokenness, I consider all that was afflicted upon Him, and you know what? That thing that's going on in your life, the value of it drastically changes, doesn't it? Because what we see is who's in control. Just like Abraham, he didn't know. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what was next in his life. He had no idea what was happening. But here's what he did know. He knew that God was in control. And he knew he can trust in Him. And so if you're a believer here today, I want you to know this. This is what I want you to understand. If you're a believer, then you are God's child. You're His son. You're His daughter. We had this little precious little ones up here. Look at how many of y'all come out here not to see them. Because you love them, right? You care about them, right? Well, you know what? God's love for his children can't even be compared to that. He has a radical love for those that are his. So just because we don't know what's next, just because we may be in a lot of hurt and there may be tough decisions in our life, here's what we need to understand. We have a God in heaven that is good and he loves us to the ends of time. And because of that, that's something we should hold on to and grab a hold of. We're getting ready to dismiss, but before we do that, we'll have a time of invitation. If there's a need here tonight of any sort, we don't want to rush you out of here. And I know that there's a lot of that are guests here and that sort of thing, but if you need to talk afterwards, you just let me know, and I'd be more than happy to talk with you here this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises that's in your word. And Lord, it is only you. It's only you that a man can be saved by. It's by your goodness, Christ alone. And Lord, we just lift you up here tonight. We exalt you. We know that you are the King of glory. I pray if there's a need here tonight, Lord, that your spirit would move upon them. And Lord, that they would know that Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have a need, would you come? Again, we thank everyone for coming out tonight, and we do appreciate our teachers. We thank God for them, and I want to thank Brother Edwin also for his help and working with them, but can't go without thanking Miss Michelle. Miss Michelle, you are also a very vital part of our preschool, and we do appreciate you. And parents, grandparents, thank you. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to minister to your children and have that time with them. We do appreciate that. If you would stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed here this evening. And I need to just see all of those involved in Connect, okay? All those that are involved in Connect, and all of our coaches, our volunteers that plan on working this week, I need to meet with you briefly for just a few minutes. And that reminds me of one more announcement. Connect basketball season will begin instead of on the 22nd. We have now pushed that back to the first Saturday in December, and the reason why is because of some things that we have to do in order to prepare for that, and also because of this inmate training that's come on us. We have to have all of our volunteers that are in the inmate ministry, they have to be there for this, and so that's going to hurt some of our volunteers for the Connect, and so we've moved that back to the first Sunday in December. So those involved in Connect, if you'd stay for just a few minutes, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the awesome day that we've had in worship and a chance to be with you and go through your word together. And thank you for these young people here tonight and their families. We pray as we go out these doors this week, Lord, that you are glorified and that your gospel message, Lord, is on our hearts and minds. Let it roll from our lips that we would declare the goodness of what Jesus has done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.